I'm going to see if I can get the screen sharing, but you're on.
Great. Okay, thank you so much. I'm very excited to be, I guess, back, you could say. I feel like, I think about it sometimes. The last year ended so abruptly. I remember I was emailing with Heather and Rabbi Schwab, and it was like, first it was, okay, don't come. And then before I know it, the entire shul just was put on hold for months, I guess till mid-June. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to share my good news about going to San Diego with everyone. I had the prebla in March, so you can probably assume there's been about 12 months since I've stood at a pulpit. But I have to say, I felt very comfortable standing at the pulpit. I felt like I gained a lot in my time in West Hempstead, even though it got cut short. And it really helped me when I was up for the prebla. So I have a lot of a karsa tov, and I'm excited to be here. And thank you to, I guess, Rabbi Schwab, who I never got to thank in the past. And thank you to Rabbi Rothman for putting this all together. And we only have 24 more minutes, so let's not waste any more time. So tonight I wanted to talk about a topic that I'm super, super excited about. And it's this glaring incongruence in the Shulchan Aruch. Because if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you go back a little bit to when it's talking about Pesach and the Seder. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that Chayev Adam La'asok B'Hilchos HaPesach, you have to be involved in learning about the Halachos of Pesach, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the story of leaving Egypt, and you have to speak about them, tell them over the stories about the miracles and all the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to our forefathers in Mitzrayim, or leaving Mitzrayim, Ad Shetach Tefenu Shena. Until, literally, you're grabbed by sleep. Until you pass out. After the Seder, you just have to keep going, keep learning, until you pass out. And yet, unfortunately, I'm not able to put up my Makoros, but I would show you that my second source is the Shulch... apparently, I just got emailed out. Shkoyach. So if you want to look, so you see the second source is the Shulchan Aruch talking about Tikkun Leil Shavuos. And on Tikkun Leil Shavuos, the Shulchan Aruch says nothing. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't mention it at all. And yet, I don't think we've ever seen anyone, I've heard of one or two people, but most people are not going to stay up all night on Pesach learning. They're not. Imagine if we had a Tikkun Leil Pesach in the Shul. There's going to be matzah and those Manischewitz cakes and whatever else we can have. People would probably think that we're crazy. What kind of shul is this? You have a Tikkun Leil Pesach, and yet Tikkun Leil Shavuos, if you don't have it, if you're not up all night learning, you're not a shul. So I want to speak a little bit about what's going on, what makes a minhag, what's going on with this minhag, and most importantly, or what I think is most importantly, the power of a minhag, the power of Masorah. So let's start by the making of a minhag. So the Torah talks about in two different places creating a custom. It talks about it in not in the word of minhag, but in the word of vow. When you create a minhag, it's a sort of a vow, of a neder, of a shavua. And that's what the pasuk says in Bimbar, Lam and Gimel. If you're looking at the source sheet, it's source number 3, Ish Ki yidor neder la Hashem, o yishava shvua, laser Israel nafsho, lo yachel devaro kikol yotzer mipiv yase. Person who makes a neder to Hashem, they make some sort of oath or a shvua to ozer something on themselves, to disallow something. So it says, lo yachel devaro, you shouldn't make your words chulin, and you shouldn't make them chal, you shouldn't make them mundane. Rather, you should treat them with the seriousness. Anything that comes out of your mouth, you should do. So that's making something that's mutter, usser. And the Torah says also in Vayikra and Hey Dalad, you can also create an obligation on yourself. O nevesh, ki tishava levate, v'sapasayim, lahara o lehetiv, l'kol asher yivate ha'adam, b'shvua. Anything that a person speaks, anything that they mention, that they become obligated, they become obligated in doing. So when we think of minhagim, we kind of think of actions. But not everything we do is going to become a minhag. Right? The Shulchan Aruch, I didn't put it here, but the Shulchan Aruch talks about anything that's a restriction, that's religious in nature. That can become a minhag. to the exclusion of other restrictions that you put on yourself. If you say, I'm going to stop eating potato chips because potato chips made me look bloated and it's almost the summer and I don't want to look bloated. So your doctor might like you. Your mirror might like you a little bit more, but it doesn't create a minhag in any way. It's not a shvu. It's not an oath. You didn't do anything. It's not religious in nature. You're just not eating potato chips. And it also has to be something that you accustom yourselves to doing, or something that you think maybe I'm going to accustom myself to do. So maybe that's acting three times. Maybe that's saying, oh, this is something I always want to do. Even on the first try, even on the first time. You do it once, you say, I'm always going to act this way. So then maybe you just created a minhag right there. Maybe you just created some sort of vow, some sort of neder shvua that you're obligated in. But that's all personal. When it comes to communal minhagim, it's actually a little bit more powerful. The community has, I don't want to say the right to impose, but the community, what the community does kind of falls upon yourself. I have here in the sixth source a Mishnah from Pesachim. And the Mishnah from Pesachim, it's also very relevant to Pesach that just passed. It says, Makom shenagu la'asos melacha b'arvei Pesachim ad chatzos osin. Makom shenagu shelo la'asos ein osin. So it talks about doing melacha until chatzos. Everyone agrees after chatzos, you don't do it. But what about till chatzos? And the Mishnah says, you go based on the place, whatever they do. If they do it, great. If they don't do it, great. But then, ha'olich memakom she'osin, memakom she'inosin. You go from a place that does malacha to a place that doesn't do malacha. Oh, memakom she'inosin, memakom she'osin. Or from a place that doesn't do malacha before chatzot to a place that does do malacha before chatzot. Nosin, alav, chumrei memakom she'yatzim isham, chumrei memakom she'halach isham. You have to go based on the stringencies of the place you went from, the place you're going to. You shouldn't change. From what people are doing, you shouldn't change. So the Gemara talks about this, and the Gemara says that what this is saying is that what is your mindset? Are you planning on staying, or are you planning on going back? If you're planning on staying, so now you do whatever they do there. If you plan on going back, so then you're going to do what they do when they go back. But at the same time, if you're going back, you can't be so overt about it. You have to do what they're doing there, just in a private way, which comes up all the time regarding any sort of yontiv. If you're American and you're in Israel, so really you should keep 2 days. And I think most people say to keep 2 days. Some people say not to. My in-laws, Shul Rabbi, says not to. But most people say to keep 2 days. And so, but even though you're supposed to keep that second day, you can't be so overt about it. So the second day doesn't happen in Shul. It'll happen in a Beis Medrash, or it'll happen in some side room. I remember when we were there for Sukkot, we did the second day of Sukkot in the basement of the shul. Because it was in Ramat Beis Shemesh, so it was a packed house. But it was in the basement, because we couldn't be so overt about it. In the ulam, as they call it, in the social hall. And the same thing for an Israeli in America. They would keep 2 days, or they would keep 1 day, sorry, and the second day it wouldn't be so overt about it. They would do their malacha only in private. Who is the rabbi? Rabbi Adler, because he's also TABC. So everyone knows. My wife told me that at her seminary they made an announcement: if you're from America, you keep 2 days. If your rabbi is Rabbi Adler, you keep 1 day. That was the announcement they made for Sukkot. So I think it's safe to say that Tikkun Leil Shavuos, it's not one of these minhagim like we see in the Pesukim, like we see from the Shulchan Aruch. It's not religious in nature. You can't deprive yourself of sleep. There's no mitzvah to deprive yourself of sleep. Most would say that you have to get as much sleep as your body requires. I know, Rav Mordechai Willig, he's very anti-coffee. Which is, I guess, ironic, as you'll see as we go along. But he's very anti-coffee, because if your body wants to sleep, you should sleep. And if your body wants to be awake, you should be awake. And that's what you should do. So really, there's no mitzvah to deprive yourself of sleep. And also, let's be honest, a lot of the people, I guess you can see from the first page of my Makoros, a lot of people who say, I'm going to stay up, end up falling asleep anyway. It happens. I always fall asleep during davening. Standing up during davening. Every time I stay up, it's brutal, I guess you could to say the worst. And also, it's not a communal minhag. We're not imposing on anybody that you have to stay up. If you want to daven at the 5:10 chakras on Shavuos morning, great. Come daven at the 5:10 chakras on Shavuos morning. If you want to wait until 8:30, 9 o'clock, whenever it is, 7:30, whatever your minion is, so then you can wait till then too. We'll have a minion for you then as well, most likely. So what is it? What is this minhag that we've come up with that's become so widespread? So we always like to talk about the Zohar. It comes from the Zohar. The Zohar talks about the Chassidim, the Rishonim, these pious individuals who would stay up all night learning. But interestingly enough, the Zohar doesn't say, he doesn't mention the Medrash that says that the Jewish people fell asleep and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wake them up. And so therefore, we're coming to be mitaking that, to fix that. Really, he says that it's an order that the bride be adorned properly for the king in the morning. Presumably, us, the Jewish people, are the bride. We want to be adorned with a lot of Torah, so that in the morning when we greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we relive Kabbalah Satorah, we're adorned. We've done it all. And even though the Zohar quotes this minhag, it really wasn't so widespread. The Abu Dram has a sefer where he talks about tefillah and he talks about minhagim, and when he talks about Shavuos, he doesn't talk about it. He leaves this minhag out, which is, I guess you could say, a raya. It's a proof that it wasn't so widespread. And the Shulchan Aruch leaves this minhag out. Nobody really talks about it. The first person to talk about it is the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham, which I also quoted here in source number 7, he says, Isa b'Zohar, like we just said, it says in the Zohar, Shechsin v'rishonim hayun urim kol ha'ayla oskim b'Torah. They would stay up the whole night, and they would be involved in Torah, learning Torah v'kavar, no'agu rov halomdim. And this has become very widespread. La'asos kein, to do so. V'efshar l'seis tam, and we say, it's possible to give a reason, al pi p'shuta l'fish Yisrael, hayu yishenim kol ha'ayla, that when we receive the Torah, the Medrash tells us that the Jewish people were sleeping the whole night, v'hutzrach ha'kadosh baruch hu, l'hero sam, he had to wake them up, ki de'isa v'medrash, like it says in the Medrash, v'kenan u'tzurichim l'takin zeh. So therefore, we have to come to be misaking this. We have to come and fix this. And he, interestingly enough, gives the classic reason that we were sleeping the whole night and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wake us up. But what changed? You have the Zohar who says, you had the Chassidim HaRishonim, you had these few pious people, and the Shulchan Aruch leaves it out, and then the Magen Avraham says, oh, it's so widespread. So I saw the most fascinating suggestion, and it makes a lot of sense, honestly. Here in the 8th source, it's this article by someone named Elliot Horowitz called Coffee, Coffee Houses, and Nocturnal Rituals. And so he says in the 4th line, it's in the middle line, it says, Coffee and Tikkun Chatzos, as we have noted, both originated in the Middle East. I don't want to say obviously, but, you know, obviously, they both originated in the Middle East, where Israel is. And came gradually to Italy by the way of the Mediterranean. News of both arrived arrived there late in the 16th century, and in the 17th, their dissemination proceeded somewhat haltingly. Then in the 18th century, however, both became integral features of the nightlife of Italian Jewry. The vigils of Shavuot and Hoshana Rabbah also thrived with the aid of coffee. Not only in Italy, but as far north as Worms, or Worms, you could say. The conspicuous role eventually accorded that beverage in their observance is perhaps most clearly evident in the account provided by a 19th century Jewish traveler in North America. Concerning Shavuot, he wrote, on the first evening, the families assembled in their houses, reading biblical portions aloud by turns, and during the pauses, coffee and other refreshments are handed round. So coffee, which we first learn about in the 15th century, it was discovered in Yemen, it was discovered in Yemen. And then slowly, the 16th century, it starts spreading throughout the Middle East. And by the 17th century, it reaches Italy. And once it reached Italy, so it started spreading around Europe. And once it started spreading around, and so once coffee started to become more popular, so these nocturnal rituals, as Elliot Harwood says, started becoming more popular. Something like Tikkun Leil Shavuos, staying up all night. I have something that's going to help me fight the tiredness. I'm not going to hit my wall. At whatever it is, 2, 3 a.m., I'll just have coffee. Or maybe all night, I'll have coffee. I'll have something that'll keep me going. And so as coffee spread, so too did Tikkun Leil Shavuos spread. And as it spread throughout the Middle East and outside of the Middle East, so too did these minhagim. So we can substantiate this claim using the Magen Avraham. By the time it got to the Magen Avraham, who was in Poland, so he not only did coffee get there, but this minhag got there. And he said, and he was saying that this is a very widespread thing now, which makes a lot of sense because people have a way to aid them. And this also makes a lot of sense based on the Shulchan Aruch we saw at the beginning, and the minhag now. Like I was saying, nobody stays up all night on Pesach night. Why not? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're chayv to do so. Well, because you just spent the night at the Seder, you had 4 cups of wine, and your last 2 cups of wine, you have them like boom, boom. So you're probably feeling it a little bit. You're probably pretty tired. It's already very late. And so therefore, all you want to do is you want to go to sleep. You're going to do as little cleaning as possible, as little housework as you can as possible. It's 1 a.m., it's 2 a.m., whatever it is, it's 11 p.m., whatever it is, you just want to go to sleep. Your Seder's over, let's go to sleep. But Shavuos night, so now I have coffee. I'm going to do whatever I can to stay up. And it doesn't help that we have this minhag also to, or maybe it does help, that we have this minhag also to eat dairy. So now I can have milk in my coffee, which I personally don't like coffee. But I've been told that black coffee is not so geschmack. But coffee with milk, now that's geschmack. So now I have a reason to stay up all night long. But I think there's one really important lesson that we can glean from all of this. And that's the power and the responsibility of Masorah. Because the Shulchan Aruch did not create this minhag. We created the minhag. Clearly, when Rav Yosef Karo documented what was popular at the time, it was popular to stay up all night on Pesach night, presumably. He wrote about it. But it wasn't so popular to stay up all night on Shavuos night. He didn't write about it. But then popularity shifted. And we have adopted that. And not only have we adopted that, but we passed that on. That was what was given to us, and that's what we pass on. We're probably all familiar with the first Mishnah, Maseches Avos. Moshe kibbutz Torah Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. Masari le Yoshua, and he passed it on to Yoshua. Yoshua le Zakenim, Zakenim le Neviim, Neviim, Mesura le Anshei Knesset Hagadola. You know, the Shalshalas HaMesora, the chain of the Mesora. So when I was studying in Israel, I had a rabbi who told me that if you want to really understand Pirkei Avos, you have to get the Maharal's Derech Chaim. And then you can understand Pirkei Avos. So that's what I did. I went out and it wasn't so easy to find in a single volume, but I went out and I found it, the single volume, the Maharal's Derech Chaim and Pirkei Avos, and I cracked it open and I couldn't decode the Maharal. I had no clue. I had no clue what was flying. And so I put it on my shelf, and for years and years and years it sat on my shelf. It's almost as black and as new and as pristine looking as when I got it. But recently, when I was thinking about what I wanted to speak about, so I took it off. I took it out. I opened it up and I saw what he had to say on this Mishnah. And I have to say, it was awesome. It was mind blowing. The rabbi was right. Once I understood how to read a Maharal a little bit better, he was totally right. And the Maharal, on the first Mishnah, I think he asked 6 questions. He just goes, boom, 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 va'od, 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 va'od. He just asks the questions. And one of the questions is, why the change in the Lashon? It's Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. He was Lashon Kabbalah. He received it, Umasara Le Yoshua. And then it goes to Limsor, Mesora, to pass it on. So why does it change like that? And so the answer, I'm not going to read inside because we're a little bit running out of time, but the answer, he says, is that Moshe received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a Kabbalah. It was just given to him. That's it. Here it is. Here's the whole thing. Here you go. And the Gemara in Nedarim talks about how Moshe learned Torah for 39 days and forgot it, learned it and forgot it, learned it and forgot it. Until finally at day 40, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him as a matana. Here you go. Here's everything. Here's the information. All yours. But when it came from Moshe passing it on to Yeshua, when it came from going from one generation to the next, and even us passing on to the next generation, it's not that simple. We don't just say, here you go. Have it, take it, here's all the information, okay, now go live your life. But it's a Masorah, which is the Lashon of Musar, meaning there's a little bit of guidance there. You don't just give over the information, but you guide your children. Here's the good, and there's what we want to stay away from. Here's where you want to head, and there's where you want to avoid. And so when we are passing over the Masorah, we don't just give it. We don't just say, here, take it, run. But we show what's important, what we show what we care most about, and we try to guide away from the things that we think are less important or even dangerous from time to time. And so when we make a minhag like this, like Tikkun Leil Shavuos, so we're showing that this is important to us. Even though it didn't say it in the Shulchan Aruch, we care a lot about this. On Shavuos night, on the night of Kabbalah Satorah, we are going to show what's important to us. And what is important to us? The Torah. And we want to show that we're passionate about it. And how are we going to show we're passionate about it? Staying up all night. Whether you give the Zohar's reason of adorning the bride, whether you give the Magen Avraham's reason of the Medrash, and we're being misakin what they did. But we're showing that this is important to us. And every single minhag we do, every single time we pass something on, we're showing that it's something that's important to us. I have one more proof of this, but again, I'll skip it. I actually have it on a shir somewhere on Yitzhar, so you can go find it. But on the night of Kabbalah Satorah, on Shavuos night, whether we decide that we're staying up all night, or we decide that we're not staying up all night, we're going to learn part of the night, we're going to learn the whole night, we should take some time to seriously consider the making of a minhag and the power of Masorah. So I thank you guys again for joining me for learning tonight. If anyone's any questions, comments, concerns, I think that's my minhag. That's how.